Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer, the Mad Money Machine. If this is your first Mad Money Machine, please download another show to get a better sample of what's going on here. Here we'll define the word dollar. I'll tell you that I'm running again. I've got the solution to economic woes and a whole lot more on the Mad Money Machine. Mad Money Machine. Show 91. Pre-Christmas. Yes, this time I promised, or last time I promised I would do a show that is less polished than usual, and I probably will not keep my promise, but I'm going to try to produce this show in a quicker amount of time than I normally do, so there won't be as much production values in this one. And what does that mean to you? Well, that means it's not going to be as good, probably. Hopefully the content will be interesting, though, so we will see. Now, there's one outfit that I know that doesn't compromise, unlike the Mad Money Machine show compromises, and that outfit is Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. They sponsor this show, and I love them for it. If you want some help managing your money, there's no better place to go, in my opinion, than Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at IFA.com. All right, you probably have some of these in your pocket right now, and that is a dollar. What does the word dollar mean? Where does the word dollar come from in the first place? Do you have any idea at all? Well, according to my sources, the dollar originated as a generally applied name of ounce weights of silver coined by the Count of Schlick in Bohemia. The Count, who lived in Joachim's Valley, or Joachim's Tal, began coining ounces of silver in 1518, and their uniformity and fineness earned a reputation throughout Europe. They became known as Joachim's Thalers, finally abbreviated to Thalers. The name dollar is derived from Thaler, and it's not just the United States that uses the term, of course. Many other countries use the term dollar. And when our dollar first started, it was defined as a unit of trade equal to 412.5 grains, or 26.73 grams, of 90% silver. And it used to be a dollar bill could be traded in for those dollar coins. And those are beautiful coins if you've never actually seen one. Surely you've seen a Morgan dollar and a Peace dollar from the early 20th century. Beautiful coins. And speaking of dollars, I believe I have just come across the solution for all of our economic problems here in the United States. Now, tell me if I'm wrong about this. Here is the solution for economic prosperity for every person in the country. And it is simply this. Let's have the Federal Reserve of the United States, the Federal Reserve Bank, print money. Print enough money. Now, when you say print money, it's not literally printing the dollar bills. It's just creating money in a bank account somewhere. Let's have the Federal Reserve create $1 million for every person in the United States and deposit it directly in their account. Let's make everyone in the country an instant millionaire. That has got to be the solution to all of our economic problems. And what does it cost? It doesn't cost anything, does it? Of course not. That's apparently what the politicians think these days. And speaking of the Federal Reserve, did you see Ron Paul on Jim Cramer's Mad Money last Friday? Here's a little snippet.
Do you think you're changing the debate in this country? Do you think your fellow candidates are now realizing, because you're up there talking about it, that we have a large domestic problem, which is a run amok, unregulated group of people who, frankly, are not responsive or held accountable to anybody?
You know, I don't think they've quite heard the message. I think the people at the grassroots level hear it and understand it, but I don't think the other candidates quite get it. I don't think they have an understanding of monetary policy, and if they do, they like the status quo and they like the benefits that come from it. But the members of Congress and our candidates on the platform that I work with, I'm not so sure that they have an interest or an understanding of how the monetary system works.
Well, sir, I think you are changing the debate. I think you are creating an atmosphere where we can find finally begin to even talk. I'm always afraid. You know, I'm always, until you've given me cover, sir, I always feel like I'm out there by myself criticizing this institution that everybody thinks is like a holy temple, when the reality is these are just men and women like you and me, except for they're making policy with no checks and balances. I wish you the best of luck, sir, with your campaign. You are changing things with what you're saying.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I was with you today.
Absolutely. Congressman Ron Paul, good luck to you, sir.
So I have the YouTube video of that on the website under the heading When Worlds Collide. The two men I most follow most closely, Jim Cramer and Ron Paul, together. Ron Paul says he thinks the world is waking up. I wish he would have said he thinks the world is taking the red pill. Well, anyway, so much for Cramer, so much for politics. I want to talk about some fun stuff now. My wife's Christmas party was last Friday. And talk about spending money. The party was at the Marriott Wardman down in, well, near Washington, D.C., Bethesda area, I think is where that is in Washington, D.C. And walk in, they had a 5-piece brass quintet playing Christmas carols. At 7:30, they opened the doors to the main banquet hall and were greeted by Scottish bagpipers playing one of the traditional bagpiping songs as we walk in towards our numbered tables. A guitarist plays Christmas carols on the stage. And then at 9:30, promptly, the main act appeared, the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys, the actual Beach Boys. Looking a little old, not so much like boys anymore, but it was a lot of fun. When I was young, I stumbled across a TV show on our black and white TV set. It was some movie on some Saturday afternoon, and there were about four people running down the streets of some large city, I assume Manhattan, and there weren't any other people around in the entire city. And at the time I thought, wouldn't that be great? You'd own everything in the world. And ever since that time, I've always been sort of fascinated by stories of survivalism like that, I guess. And of course, there are several reality shows. There's Survivor, of course, and the Lost TV show, and several others. And now there's the movie I Am Legend. And I really wanted to see this. I wanted to see how this guy dealt with being the last man on earth, apparently. And I wanted to see it by myself, and so I went on a Monday at 12 noon, and walking into the theater was surreal. There was no one else around as I walked in the theater. But when I finally got into the actual showing, there were eight other people there watching it along with me. Would I recommend it? No, not really. Unless you like zombies. And I won't give anything else away about it. I am running again, trying to run, as cold as it is outside. And look at the temperature. It's overcast and 37 degrees here in Leesburg, Virginia. I guess you can run when it's 37 degrees, but when the wind blows and it's 37 degrees, it gets a little bit painful. But I have taken off that Nike thing, tracking my progress on the website. I was suspecting that that was what was causing the website to crash. And I don't know. Let me know if you see any more crashes on it. I think there have been some since I took the Nike thing off. But I'm going to try to track that down and see what's going on. Speaking of the website, I'm going to do some updates in 2006. All right, I will do some editing. It's 2008. I'm going to try to put a new style on it, I think, and make it a little bit more navigable. There's so much information out there now that can't be found. I'm going to probably have an area for the new Lazy Portfolio Smackdown. Have you seen this? On my website, I talk about a game that we're going to have. And I invite you to participate in this. Although I have invited people out at the Bogleheads Forum to participate. And I got a kind of an overwhelming response. I think there have been at least 20 people, maybe 30 people, have already sent me their portfolios. But the Portfolio Smackdown next year, instead of fighting against Cramer's stock picking skills, what we're going to do is we're going to fight against each other as lazy portfolio managers. At the beginning of the year then, I will take all of your various ideas for lazy portfolios, including all the lazy portfolios that I've already chronicled, and we will be pitting them against each other. And it's not just about total returns, of course. It's also about measuring the risk in the portfolio. And one of the people out at the Bogleheads Guide has already indicated to me that you can't measure risk successfully within that short of a time span. And so I'll try to look at other things, maybe the Sharpe ratio and whatever else. But we'll get an idea of what works and what doesn't work. We'll see what people are doing investing in lazy portfolios. I think it's going to be something fun to talk about throughout the year. And, of course, I'll have nice charts and graphs. Go out to the MadMadMachine.com website to read all of the rules for sending me your portfolio and get them to me before January 2nd. Couple of people, in particular Nathan, who was the first, sent me a link to a Business Week article. Jim Cramer, Mad No More, the CNBC host and author, is emphasizing long-term investing for his viewers and readers. What happened to the manic stock picker by Ben Steverman. December 7th, after years of manic rants and crazy antics on live TV, you might think Jim Cramer's shock value has worn off. How about this for a new surprise? Jim Cramer, sober-minded personal finance guru. It creates some contradictions. The hyperactive stock picker on CNBC's Mad Money has a new book out advising most readers not to buy individual stocks at all. The man who says colleagues called him the Reverend Jim Bob Cramer of the Church of What's Happening Now is now patiently investing his charitable trust for the long term. And in it, he says he wished he had written this book first before the other two stock-picking books. Yeah, right. He wouldn't have been as popular, I suppose, if he had written this book first. This book makes up for the fact that he wrote the other two books, I guess. But even then, the book is not all that good as far as advice. Go read my review on it at madmoneymachine.com. And I'll have a link to this article from Business Week in the show notes for show 91. Mad Money Machine Board of Directors member Yo Mama 2000 writes, I'm glad that you're going to bag the portfolio smackdown. It started out fun, but the game is inherently too easy to cheat. For example, I lost interest when I realized it was 20 minutes behind real-time stock prices. I could theoretically go on my Ameritrade account and know what a stock price would be 20 minutes later in the game. In a volatile market, that's just too much of an advantage. It's almost like that newspaper that gives tomorrow's news today. Best wishes for another 90 shows, Yo Mama 2000 says. And I wrote back and says, really? You can get an advantage 20 minutes by knowing what the price of stock is going to be from 20 minutes ago? And Yo Mama writes back and says, I tried it. When the website quoted the 20-minute-ago price, it was actually 2 points higher in real time, but I was able to buy it at the 20-minute-ago price. Try it. Just sit there with two windows open and you will see. So I wonder, hopefully no one has, well, hopefully no one on the board of directors has taken advantage of this in the game. Now, I know that some of the people in the other Mad Money Machine public game have quite high returns on some of their accounts. Well, thanks for writing, Yo Mama 2000. I received an audio comment from John about something on a previous show. Have a listen.
Paul, this is John in Omaha. I thought I'd give you some feedback from Triple M 090 about paying off your mortgage early. Here's what you said.
Here's a question that comes up an awful lot. Should I prepay my home equity loan or should I prepay my home mortgage? And I guess the answer is always, it depends. But at first glance, you got to think, well, if we really do have inflation, you know, some people are saying that this business of the way the government calculates inflation being 2%, 3% or whatever they calculate it is just fundamentally flawed. I mean, ask somebody who has to pay for medical care if they think inflation is 2%. Ask somebody who has put gasoline in their car if they think inflation is 2%. How about paying for college education or any education for that matter? Is inflation 2% for you as well? So should you prepay your mortgage with today's dollars? Or should you go ahead and wait and pay your mortgage with tomorrow's dollars? Kind of answers itself, doesn't it?
true when only thinking about future value versus present value of your dollars in regard to effects on inflation. Just like picking individual stocks, you probably need to measure your risk tolerance. If someone has the cash, even if it is in an IFA account, and they could pay off their mortgage, they may decide to do just that. Let's say you had your mortgage paid off. Would you be willing to borrow against your house and put that money into a mutual fund? Most people wouldn't do that. And once you finish taking that red pill, you'll figure out that the people that always say to not pay off your mortgage are those that benefit from that decision. Mortgage interest goes to the bank, and so do the fees for your mutual fund. Is that tongue turning a little bit redder yet? Oh, and I have to give a plug to my personal finance guru that gave me that piece of advice about paying your mortgage off early. That would be Dave Ramsey.
I'm debt free!
See you, Paul.
Hey, thanks for the call, John. That's an excellent point. And as I mentioned at the beginning part of the comment, it depends. And of course, just talking about the inflated dollars fact is certainly not the only thing you'd want to look at. But then you ask the question, well, would you be willing to take out a home equity loan to invest it in an IFA account? And if you take a look at the IFA portfolio, let's take a look at the IFA portfolio 55, for example, and let's look at a 15-year horizon. If you look at just about any, if you look at any 15-year period, the average annual return, the minimum average annual return for IFA portfolio 50, is 9% per year. Now, can you go out and get a 9% loan? Yes, you can. You can get a 7% or less loan now. So you could, in effect, arbitrage playing a home equity loan and then dumping it into an IFA portfolio 50. And as I said, the lowest annualized return for the 15 years is 9%. There have been times where it gets 13, 17 even. And so, yeah, why not take out a home equity loan and invest it in index folio number 50? Controversial. And speaking of controversial, the other thing that I kind of stirred up a couple of shows ago was this talk about dynamic risk capacity adjustment. You know, if you think bad times are coming and you're invested in a risky portfolio, well, maybe you should dynamically adjust your risk tolerance. And I had a comment out on the show notes that said, that is market timing. That's nothing other than market timing. Yeah, but really, is it? I wonder. If you don't have the comfort level in your high-risk portfolio, then yes, maybe you should downgrade it to a lower risk capacity. But here's the thing, and here's why investing with IFA is such a good thing. They will help protect you from the emotions that you will get like this in the marketplace. They will help shelter you. They will help you realize that you need to stick with your investment plan through thick and thin. We have been through some thick times recently, 2005, 2006, and parts of 2007 were great watching the market go up. And now recently, we are experiencing the thin times when the market has gone back down. And so IFA, getting an account advisor like them, will help you stick with your plan and stick with the risk capacity that you have set out for yourself. You've got to believe in the statistics that over the long term, the markets in capitalism will reward you for the amount of risk that you're taking with your capital. I mentioned on a previous show that I've set up this Delicious account, delicious.com/madmoneymachine. And apparently, if you get an account, then you can go in and see the various bookmarks and things that I am making public. And then you can also somehow add yourself to my network, and I can add you to my network, and I can see the links that you're posting. And also, if you have an account with Delicious, you can apparently post things for the Mad Money Machine somehow. There's delicious.com/for/madmoneymachine, FOR/madmoneymachine. And so if you have a suggested bookmark, that's one way to get it to me, although email works great too. Feedback at madmoneymachine.com. And the voicemail line works, 206-734-4763. I appreciate your feedback in all of those regards. As we approach show number 100, I'd really like to get some of your feedback to go into that show to see what the Mad Money Machine has meant to you. And don't forget that on show 100, I will be revealing a very big secret that I've been keeping from you for 2 years now. Let's give away one of those books that I was talking about, Jim Cramer's Stay Mad for Life. Several of you have entered the contest by posting a link to madmoneymachine.com somewhere out on the internet. Jim K, John T, Nathan K, Ding Y from China, JW, Joe J, James, and many others. Let's go out to random.org and click random integer generator. I will say generate one random integer. Generate between 1 and the number of entries, format in one column, press get numbers, and the number is 3, and that translates to Nathan Keister, K-E-O-S-T-E-R. Nathan, send me a mailing address, and I'll get this copy of the book out to you in time for the new year. And I've got one more Jim Cramer Stay Mad for Life copy to give away. And I'm going to have to think of something really big and something that people will really want to get involved with to give this one away sometime probably in January. And of course, I will make it all the much sweeter by autographing the copy for you. Well, I think I got through everything I wanted to get through on this show. If I didn't, well, there's always a next show. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes giving everyone in the United States $1 million to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next week. Merry Christmas, everybody. The next show will be after Christmas, and we get to unwrap all those Christmas presents and give them to you on the next show. In the meantime, do yourself a Christmas favor by visiting IFA.com, Index Funds Advisors. Take their risk capacity survey. Find out how you should be investing your money through the coming bad years. And the coming good years, for that matter. Some music on this program, what little of it there was on this show, is provided by music.podshow.com. I appreciate your feedback. Email to me, feedback@madmoneymachine.com, or called into the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Go get that delicious account and send me your bookmarks. Merry Christmas.
How can we get rid of the income tax? If we reduced federal spending to the levels of just a decade ago, we could get rid of the income tax and replace it with nothing. Let me repeat. We could get rid of the IRS and the income tax, all of it, if we reduce federal spending to the levels of just a decade ago. There is only one candidate for president, Ron Paul, who is committed to ending the income tax and replacing it with nothing. Congressman Ron Paul has a 20-year record of saying no to the big spending liberals and lobbyists. He can get it done.
This is Ron Paul. I want to end the IRS and replace it with nothing. No income tax, no sales tax, and responsible constitutional spending. That's a formula for prosperity and the way to a brighter future for our children and grandchildren.
We can end the income tax. Be a part of it. Call 877-RON-PAUL. 877-RON-PAUL.
I'm Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Ron Paul, 2008 PCC.